speaking on this program is Gary Cawley.
John 3:16 says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. In Hebrews 2:9, he said, but we see Christ, who's made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and with honor, that by the grace of God he might taste of death for every man. To follow Christ, of course, is the real intent of every child of God. Without following him, we can't be assured that we're living acceptably in the sight of God. And there are many things to turn us aside if we allow them to. That's the reason, as we've read in Colossians 2:8 through 10, each day, Paul said, beware lest any man spoil you or steal from you through his philosophy or vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Colossians 2, verses 8 through 10. You know, in Ephesians 1, verse 22, 23, he said God made him, Christ, to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now, is Christ indeed enough for us? Oh, indeed he is. He's enough for every test of life, isn't he? God will supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Jesus Christ, Philippians 4:19. He is certainly complete for our salvation from sin because he brings to us the needed plan of salvation by which we may know and do those things that will bring forgiveness to our lives. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. And only in Christ do we find the way of deliverance. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. His completeness, of course, goes with us in the test of temptations. When those temptations come our way, what would we do if we didn't have our Lord to lean on? He is the one that's able to deliver us, and we're not to think that God puts temptation in our way, but Satan does. There is evil in the world. We free moral agents have the right to choose between right and wrong. But as Christians, of course, we need to be sure that we are always close to our Savior. Christ is able to provide, isn't he, the moral power and the stamina that are essential to triumph in Christian living. So we lean on him. Leaning on the everlasting arms, we can find, of course, our eternal welfare safe and secure. Then Christ also is complete for us in every test. It doesn't matter what the test is. We can cast our burdens, our cares upon him, our sorrows, our sufferings, but only if we're the children of God. By being children of God, we have the privilege of having him as our elder brother and abiding in his love and his presence at all times. But also let us continue today with the thought that Christ is complete for our spiritual devotion. You know, in Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, he said, all authority hath been given unto me in heaven and upon earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've taught you. And lo, I'll be with you alway, even unto the end of the world. It was also our Lord who said, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Here is the name above all names, the name through which we're saved, the name through which we're safe from temptation and trials, the name through which we have our spiritual devotion. In none other name is there salvation, Peter said in Acts 4:12. Neither is there any other name under heaven given among men wherein we must be saved. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, Jesus said, there I am in the midst of them. You know, when we gather in his name, by his authority, we're assured of his presence, aren't we? Some unsafely count heads to estimate failure or success. My friends, that's not the way to count failure and success. Jesus doesn't count heads. Jesus counts hearts, the hearts that serve him. And you know, in Romans 6:16 through 18, he said, know you not that to whom you present yourselves as servants unto obedience, your servants ye are whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that whereas you were the servants of sin, ye obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine that was delivered unto you, and being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Now that's how the Lord counts hearts. He counts those hearts that are His servants. And if Christ is in the midst, no congregation is weak, no congregation is poor or isolated in any way. We are rich because of our connection to Christ. However, you know, people must meet the conditions of His promises to be present. That condition is to be gathered in His name. If we don't gather in the name of Christ, we have no assurance that He's in our midst. But the means, according to His authority and His nature, are for His glory. And there may not always be a crowd when Jesus is present, but there will be the church of our Lord, those people called out of the world, and they are the ones who give that spiritual devotion unto God. You know, Paul said in Romans 12, 1 and 2, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Now watch it. Which is your spiritual service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and the perfect and the acceptable will of God. Christ is the one who completes our life in our spiritual devotion. And then next of all, Christ is also complete for us for the test of death. You know, Jesus holds the key to death and the grave, doesn't He? And He said in Revelation 1:18, I am He that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of Hades and of death. Well, if He has the keys, He has the power of entrance and departure, doesn't He? He's the one who broke the bonds of Hades. In Matthew 16:18, He said, Upon this rock I will build my church, and even the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. I'll give unto thee, the apostles, He said, the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind upon earth shall be bound in heaven. Loosed upon earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now, who else is able to help us and be complete for our needs in the test of death? It is appointed unto man once to die, says Hebrews 9:27, and after that cometh the judgment. There is one destiny for all men, which is the grave, but then again, there can be no dispute that there are two destinations to which we may go. Yes, all go to the grave. Yes, all spirits go to Hades at death. And there are two compartments in Hades, one for the righteous, one for the wicked, just like there are two compartments in this earth, one in the church for the righteous, one in the world for the wicked. And of course, we can't be in both places. But this destiny that we have of the grave doesn't have to end there. In fact, it's not the end. But there is a heaven and there is a hell. And you know, in Matthew 7, verse 13 and 14, Jesus said, Enter ye in at the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth unto destruction, and many are they that enter in thereat. But narrow is the gate, and straitened is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Here we find Christ as a provision by our God, even in the time of our death. What a wonderful blessing as Christians to know that though our earthly house of this tabernacle may be dissolved, it will be dissolved, 2 Corinthians 5:1, but we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. So we with Abraham look for that city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. God has provided His Son so that we might do His will, please Him, be able to honor Him in Christ Jesus or in the church, in His body, and then be able to face death without any difficulty. You know, even the psalmist said in Psalms 23, Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. So there can be no dispute with the writer of Hebrews when he said, It is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment, Hebrews 9:27. Indeed, my friends, as we discuss these things together, does it not bring our minds to the importance of obeying the gospel, coming into Christ, obeying those things which our Lord has taught? In Hebrews 5:8-9, it says, Though He were a son, yet learned He obedience by the things which He suffered. Being made perfect, He became the author of eternal salvation to all who will obey Him.